don't think that it's not your buddy Chris. He's got a bit of a cold, so he sounds a little bit like, I was going to say Merle Haggard. I don't know if he sounds like Merle Haggard. This is the Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. This is my only Halloween-ish piece that I'm going to play. And it is to honor a fallen metal god. Thank you. You're listening to the Parts Unknown Show. Oh, there I am. On 101.9 CITR, that was Iron Maiden from the very first album released in 1980. I am a metal kid. Born and raised, I remember my very first Hit Parader and being in love with bands like Judas Priest and the aforementioned Iron Maiden, when they had their very first singer by the name of Paul Di'Anno. And the reason why I'm playing Paul Di'Anno is that maybe you have heard he has passed on at the age of 66 years old. I remember his songs like Wrathchild and Women in Uniform. And what a booming voice. He later, I think that he was let go by the band, and Bruce Dickinson was the main long-running singer of this fantastic metal act. Rest in peace to Paul Di'Anno. On today's show, there is a friend of mine named Christina Rothstein, and she is a long-running fan of going to shows and lamenting the passing and the crumbling of music venues in Vancouver, so much so that she has created a podcast called In Search of Lost Venues, and I can't get enough of it. The whole concept is she asks someone to go on a walk with her around where the venue used to be and regale her with past stories about perhaps if it was a musical type she was talking to, that the bands would be talking about all the fun times that they had during the show and little things that we might not know about that venue. And I absolutely love it. So many good episodes. My friend Selena was in one, my friend Adrian, a band called Wandering Lucy, and also Christina's dad, Harley Rothstein, was a folk singer around the 60s, and there was a whole bunch of great folk clubs around Davy Street downtown, and that episode is pretty awesome. Also, Jade Blade of the band Dishrags has been discussed, and she has been really integral to one of the episodes. So lots of episodes already. My friend Adrian LaBelle also has an episode. And what's going to happen for the next one? I can't wait. And I told Chris not to tell me. I'm just going to be as surprised as everybody. So what I'd like to do, I'd like to play a big chunk, hopefully, of this chat that I had with Chris at her abode. I call it a stoop. We're actually on her porch. What was wrong with me? And another blunder that I did, and I want to apologize right now for it. I was saying, hey, why don't you chat with people from the Elf House? And she had to correct me and tell me that this podcast is called In Search of Lost Venues. The Elf House is still around. Right. Whoops. Anyway, let's get into it. This is my chat with Christina Rothstein. She had been in a band and played one show, and we discussed that too. Let's get into it on 101.9 CITR.
This is the Parts Unknown show. I am on the stoop, someone's stoop. It's actually my dear friend Chris Rothstein's stoop. Rothstein? Rothstein. Yes. My apologies, Chris. Friend, writer, podcaster. She joins me on this wonderful stoop. How are you?
I'm very well.
Yes.
Thank you for asking me.
I am so happy to discuss your podcast because when it came to fruition last year, the podcast is called In Search of Lost Venues. I thought that this is the podcast that I am finally going to really get into listening to these little podcast shows, because it speaks to me in such a strong way, and it seems that it speaks to you the same.
Yeah, it does. And first of all, thank you for being one of my very first guests on the podcast.
I was the very first
guest.
You
were the first episode.
Oh, that's right.
I had talked to my dad.
That's right. Yeah. Harley Rostein.
That's right.
Steen.
Yeah.
That's going to be a problem.
Who, he was a psych rocker in the late 60s, and he had been part of the scene at this venue called the Retinal Circus, and I'd heard him talk about it as a kid, but I'd never, actually asked him all of the stories and how, what it was like inside, and I didn't even know where it was. So he was the first person I...
So the whole concept of the show is that the guest takes you on a journey all around Vancouver to venues that used to be there. And your dad took you... Was it either near UBC or downtown on Davie?
So, yeah, the Retinal Circus was on Davie.
That's what I thought.
And just off Burrard.
Yeah.
And we also went to the Bunkhouse, which was like the folk music coffee house spot a la sort of, Greenwich Village style
stuff. Unbelievable.
That was just further down Davie, like earlier in the 60s. And then we also went to the Kitsilano Auditorium, which had, all the big 60s bands play at, which is now... it's on 4th and Arbutus, and it's like the Russian Cultural Center.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And that's...
Things got to change,
well,
I guess.
So those three buildings all happen to still be there. And two of them, well, the Russian Hall probably has some kind of events.
Yeah.
But the Retinal Circus actually turned into Celebrities, which...
I remember. Oh, of course.
Yeah,
that was the gay nightclub.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Wow.
Sometimes those... places obviously have been knocked down a long time ago, or sometimes the building's still there and you don't know. So that's one of the things that is most fascinating to me, the fact that Celebrities could have been there all of this time and I knew it existed, but I had no idea that it was the Retinal Circus, that all of these things happened in the 60s, and trying to imagine yourself back into that time and place, which is what I did with him, and which is what I did with you when we walked around my neighborhood in Riley Park / Little Mountain, and went to Little Mountain Gallery, which was one of my favorite venues of all time.
Yeah, it will always have a good place in my heart. And sad to see it turn to rubble, but now it's being built into condos, alas.
Exactly, like everything else.
Yeah, well, just like Little Mountain, not Little Mountain, but The Toast.
Yeah.
And that was a really wonderful one, too. I was going to tell you that, I don't have a favorite show, because they're all so interesting, because each guest, and most of them are musical types, with the exception of Miss Julie Calero, which I really like her show, episode, but it seems that everyone has a real passion for the places that they played at, and you are in a band. Still, called Horse Tits, and you had a couple of shows.
One show only.
And where was the venue?
It was at the Girls Rock Camp Fieldhouse.
Yes.
Which will be a lost venue a couple months from now.
Who's going to interview you about that? I'm going to walk around in a circle.
Okay. But yes, when they return their space to the program, I forget how many years they've had it, somewhere between 3 and 5 years.
Something like that,
the residency was. And yeah, so many things have happened there. Loads of people have had it as a practice space or recording place, and the site of Yimp Fest for about 4 years, and the site of other shows, and you played at least
there was
one
lots
show
going
there.
On. Yeah, yeah, it's true. That's true, I did.
Yeah, so it... is interesting that there are stories that can be a place like that, which is soon to be an ex-venue and happened so recently, and then other things are places that I'm visiting and talking about that were like 60 years ago.
Unbelievable.
And I mean, I would love to talk to people about places that are even older than that, if I could find them. Because how do you find a person who went to shows in the 1950s?
Well, I mean, a little bit more current, but not really. There was, and still continues to be, and I have no idea how it still exists, I would love you to find a band that was a frequent player of the Elf House.
Oh, yeah.
Because your last episode was with Jen and
Andy
of the band Submission Hold, a long-running punk act.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how they were doing house shows at their 2024. How ironic.
Oh, East First. That's true. Yeah.
It's like insane. But for them to relive those times, that was really wonderful. Yes. I bet that there are so many people that have experienced wonderful quality shows at this Elf House and other places
that's
too.
That's true, except, I mean, I try to be flexible in the format of the show, but Elf House still exists.
Yeah, well, that's such a great point.
So,
yeah.
I mean, not that it doesn't need to be like documented and memorialized.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's still good to gather the stories because places like that, they fall through the cracks and like go under the radar, right? I mean, how many people who pass the Submission Hold House have any idea what happened there?
It's so
almost
true.
Almost nobody. And certainly like that one was particularly interesting for me because I didn't know that band at the time. Even though I lived here and went to some shows at the time, I was not cool enough to know about anarchist punk house shows at the time. And so, yeah, talking to people who are either before my time or like outside of my scene is very interesting because it's all new.
Yeah.
While I also like talking to friends and people who I know well, but often about things that I don't know. Like, for example, you're one of the places you and I visited, Chroma Books, which is just a block away from here.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't even live here then. Like, who knew that I would end up living right near this place, Chroma Books?
Who knew?
My partner Sam played a show and you played a show that was like a very important personal
so
time
important
for you.
Yeah.
So important, yes, most definitely it was. I am chatting with my friend Christina Rothstein of the podcast In Search of Lost Venues, and I am going to get this chat started up again at 8:06, and hopefully that you are enjoying the sounds of me and Chris on CITR.
Yeah.
And that's one of the, I mean, one of the things that's interesting about all the different people I've talked to so far, I think I've done like 17 episodes, something like that, is that everyone is different. I really enjoy that.
Unbelievable.
There are like some people tell a really personal story and how like the venue was really important in their personal life or their musical development or that it was being involved with that venue was really emotional for them because either like maybe it was their house or maybe like with Ida Nielsen.
So Ida was a co-owner of the Sugar Refinery on Granville Street, and that venue completely shaped my whole existence.
Yeah.
I remember Ida phoning Eric, the guitar player of my first band, Human Highlight Reel, and we sent them a demo, and Ida phoned Eric back, and the message was, "I've listened to your demo, and you're quite good," and we jumped around like we won the lottery.
Yeah.
It was so wonderful, and to haul my gear up those stairs, it was such a wonderful time, and I was thinking, the Main Street area where all those venues were, where I got to play, that was wonderful. But there were so many other spots that I got to play in Vancouver. And I was thinking, oh, I wish we could go to the Piccadilly Pub right now because that was a great show or whatever. The Railway Club had some amazing shows too.
Totally. And I mean, the thing is, you forget or you can forget with a lot of the places that I'm talking about are like small places, like unusual places, DIY community spaces. Not always. I've done some like bigger venues as well, but that those can have such an impact on people's lives and musical development.
Huge.
That, you know, the being booked at the Sugar Refinery could be this like validating moment, and that her encouragement could be really important.
So important. Yeah.
But yeah, interesting that her story was kind of about like the trauma of losing the space from like really from the inside. I mean, I felt the same way. Everyone I know who went to the Sugar Refinery, and that was always the venue that I thought of when I thought, what is the venue that I miss the most that I'd like to talk about? And lots of people bring it up. But yeah, just as a person who went to the place, but then you imagine what it's like for the people who actually ran the place.
True.
Even more so. Other places,
and that was special, yeah, that you got someone who was a musical type, but also ran the bloody place too.
I have a few other people I'd like to ask about that kind of thing. But I hopefully have an upcoming guest who will talk about the Piccadilly Pub.
Insane.
So we will see.
Well, and is there one place that you are hoping that you can find someone that could gush about it? Like the Brickyard was so important.
That's true.
And the Railway Club was absolutely, I mean, that was kind of like a baptism by fire when Shindig was such like a force in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
For me, being in like a young up-and-coming band, and that was so many stories of bands coming in and out, and the jerk sound guy, and so many amazing stories.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know if I have like a one on my list that I really want to talk about. First I thought that I would have like a series of central places that I sort of wanted to have someone talk about. But now I'm kind of happy to see, like, whatever. If people want to talk about the same place that even two other people have talked about, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
That's just interesting to see, like, what comes up the most. I am, like, one thing I am trying to expand the range. Like, I've always wanted to have, like, a range of experiences and ages and, like, types of people. So, I mean, I do think it would be really fun if I could find somebody who could talk about Oil Can Harry.
Yeah, or The Cave.
Yeah.
Like the jazz place on Georgia?
It was
in downtown?
Hornby.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, also that jazz club that's by UBC. I would love to now that it's no longer with us.
Yeah.
That
is a thing where, like, especially sort of improv jazz, which is sometimes like adjacent to kind of like indie rock and, you know, underground kind of you know, punk things like that, that I would like to find somebody to talk about that.
Yeah.
I had a couple ideas, but yeah, like there are places that I remember, I think, going to maybe once, like the Hot Jazz Club and the Glass Slipper and places like that.
I remember that. I don't know where it would be.
Yeah,
now.
I don't know anything about them.
Yeah.
Like I have no idea about their history, so it would be fun.
There was a place called the Lunatic Fringe, but I have no idea where it would be. Someone told me that it was on Main Street, like the cross section of Kingsway and Main Street, but I can't picture where it would be. So, well, maybe one day we'll figure that out.
Well, there was a place that came up, so I was trying to find. The other thing is, like, there are some Vancouver musicians who are like quite well known and speak a lot and have written about, you know, places they've played and stuff. And I kind of wanted to find other people who hadn't had such a big voice, who hadn't necessarily told their stories, which is often like more women. And I've been looking into all kinds of bands from like 70s and 80s that that were like female bands that I hadn't heard of before.
Oh,
like,
I love the Jade Blade.
Yeah, I mean that is one but of I my bet favorite. That
you maybe you know have kind of maybe grew up with her.
Well, I
her music at least.
No, like many things, I heard the Dish Rags first on the Parts Unknown.
Oh well.
So thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome.
But other bands, and maybe you've played them, like the Moral Lepers.
Oh my yeah, God!
Such a great band.
I would love to know what happened to the members of that band.
Well, they all moved to different places.
Yeah, well, hopefully one close to Vancouver.
Two of them live in Toronto.
Two of them live in Toronto. I have like 1 minute left of this. Do we find out? Yes, of course we do. Let's do the last minute of this, and then we will get out of town and play a lovely little track to end off the whole thing. This has been me chatting with Christina Rothstein about In Search of Lost Venues. I've been really, really into this podcast, and check it out online. It's just In Search of Lost Venues. Let's wrap it up.
So at least two, maybe three of them live in Toronto. One of them lives on Gabriola or Galliano, and I'm trying to get her to come on the show.
Oh, my gosh.
Sometimes those island people actually never come to Vancouver. Well, so if I have to at some point do some phone interviews that are not in situ, they're not like walking in the venues.
Well, they have to be walking in their area.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, they can go for a walk there.
How can people find this wonderful podcast?
I mean, they can search for it in any wherever they get their podcasts.
Yeah.
But it is called In Search of Lost Venues, and the website is insearchoflostvenues.libsyn.com, LIBSYN.
Yeah.
That host recommended by your fellow CITR host, Duncan, of Duncan's Donuts.
Very so nice. I could chat with you for another 7 hours, honest
so
to God.
More to say.
Well, part two will be next year.
And venues.
Yes,
yeah.
We better cut it short. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Coming!
to the caller. I am scared of the phone. Maybe you don't know that about me, but maybe one day we can chat. I don't know if this is regarding CITR or you are an old friend. If it's the person that I just canceled a piano lesson with, I am not feeling that great, but I needed to get into the studio to play that chat because Chris is fantastic and people need to know about her podcast. Anyway, yes. That was Images in Vogue. Gary Smith was a member of that band, and he was a guest on In Search of Lost Venues about October, May 15th, 2024. Also, some guests to In Search of Lost Venues, Vita Healy, friend of the show, Stephen Hamm, friend of the show, all these people, friends of the show, Bruce and Ryan Dick of Fund 100 and Beeline's fame, lots of great guests, and there will be more. The most recent episode was two members of Submission Hold, a seminal punk act in Vancouver. So on this kind of dance pop tip, we come to the brand new track that is going to be on an upcoming album by Devours. My good friend Jeff Kincaid must play this track, Sword Swallower. I heard this first on Duncan's show, and it was awesome. It was so great because I was dropping my daughter off, and then in the car, I was listening to this. And great song, great show, Dunkin' Donuts, Thursdays on CITR from noon to 1. And his show is conveniently on Halloween, and he is notorious for his Halloween programs. He has some kind of voice changer and he sounds all scary, and sometimes his ghoulish children come to the show and spread fear among their listeners. This is Devour. We'll be right back. This band is playing their album release November the 7th. November the 6th, sorry, at the Cobalt. It is DCOM playing with, I believe, Section Tyrants and B West. So please go to the Cobalt. I still have yet to go to the newly Gang of Three Entertainment run Cobalt yet. I am looking very forward to hopefully seeing DCOM play with friends at the Cobalt November 6th. This is from the brand new album, Sentiment, Faith 1, Chapter 9.
Tune in every Thursday from 11 p.m. till midnight for Copy and Paste. with your host, Tim, a.k.a. Autonomy, the very best in underground dance music.
B. West, born in Canada, but residing in Berlin and playing in Canada, at least for one night in Vancouver, opening for DCOM November the, I'm going to say it's 6th, I bet it's 6th, am I right this time, at the Cobalt as part of DCOM's album release for Sentiment. Very nice. Also had, I don't think anything else. I had DCOM, yes, and Devours, Images in Vogue. Very nice. Okay. So I have very, very wonderful friends and very wonderful friends of the show, and they can be both. I have the brand new track from the lovely and talented band that I have been friends with for many, many years, all of them in different acts. They call themselves now Midnight News. Ali, Katie, and Selena are all part of this band, and they have a brand new album coming out, and it's going to rock. It's going to be called, oh, brother. Oh, they didn't take the, that stinks. I thought that I could find their, they had the name of the album. I'll figure it out in a sec. This is a song called Crawling Through the, by the fabulous three-piece known as Midnight News. Their album release is going to be coming up very, very soon in November, and I hope to be going to that. Is going to be really, really wonderful. November the 20th. Oh, darn it. Anyway, I will try to figure that out too. Let's play the new track for Midnight News, the three-piece out of Vancouver.
I'd like to stop. You're working away to your fate.
Amazing stuff from Buddy, a tune called Impatient from probably an upcoming album. And we had Midnight News with their tune, Crawling Through the. Very nice. It's their first single off their new album that is being released November 8th on Mono Tapes. Their release show is at Green Auto with Yep, Man Eater, and what? That is a show not to miss. Very nice. Thank you very much to Katie for the track. But expect many, many shows on CITR and CJSF. Hopefully, maybe Co-op Radio will be playing the heck out of Midnight News, my cover. Really quick. The reason why I'm, I feel like I'm rushing is because I am. I have to get out of here around 2:25, pick up my daughter from theater school. Yes. Caution are a band from Birmingham, Alabama, that do a mean version of Elastica's hit song, Connection. I will talk to you very soon after, like, one public service announcement.
Must have seen you.
I know that you're not too ambitious.
I don't have any friends, and you can too. Tune into Teachable Moments on 101.9 FM every Tuesday at 4 p.m. if you're a fucking dork.
I specifically said no geeks.
But my mom says I'm cool.
You are listening to The Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. Let me indulge one last time.
Thank you.
Amazing stuff from my friend Matthew in the project House Wind. He's a guitar player. He puts a whole bunch of crazy stuff into the strings of his guitar and makes very, very lovely textures with that crazy instrument. House Wind had a version, excuse me, of a song that I wrote called Memorial Cup that sounds nothing like that, but the essence is still intact. I was gifted a 32-track album of covers that of songs that I had written throughout the years called 50-Year Set, because it was my birthday 2 weeks ago. And it was a rollicking good time, and I got the best friends, and I have the best friends, I guess what I'm trying to say. And I haven't seen Matthew in a bit, and if he is listening, thank you very much for your contribution. It wouldn't be an album without your wonderful guitar playing. Okay, so I am rushing here. I got about 20 minutes left before I have to get going. There is a band that has, I've been trying to get a hold of them to chat with me, and they don't know me, so they're being aloof. How dare you? Do you know who I am? No one special. Absolutely no one special. Wynonna Forever, ladies and gentlemen, have a new album called Sound Argument. They are kind of a jazz pop band, but they are so much more. Actually, this song is a very, there's elements of jazz kind of at the in the middle of this song, but kind of 70s kind of groove rock. And I really like it. And there's a song that I need to find that would complement it greatly. So let's hear Hot Heels by Wynonna Forever first on the Parts Unknown show.
I'm only taking your baddest advice.
You're listening to 101.9 CITR and the Parts Unknown Show. Where are you? There you are. All right.
Power.
Amazing. That's Bill Can, had Snooper before that. I'm going to play one last song, then I got to get out of here. This is Steaks Are Us. This is my friends Jeremy and Trevor, and a tune called Career Change. I like it. See you next week. Thank you. Sorry for quickness. Take care.
Change.